This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Erpine. Great to be with you. We're T-minus 3 weeks, right to the day. 3 weeks, 21 days away from Bengals training camp starting. I'm on Twitter at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. And this is the number one spot for all things Bengals training camp coverage. I'll be there. You'll get videos. I'll tweet videos. I'll post them at LockedOnBengals.com. I'm going to be writing about the team every single day. We will also have exclusive one-on-one interviews with players, with coaches. And if you are looking for Bengals training camp coverage, look no farther than right here with the Locked On Bengals podcast and LockedOnBengals.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. I like that I switched it back up, went to some NWA again. Switched up the song. I like it. I might stick with that for a little bit. What do you think? Might stick with that for a little bit. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. 3 weeks away. It will be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I just hope each and every one of you can share this with your other Bengals. Because I know, look, Bengals fans, you know other Bengals fans. Let everyone know about this Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm trying to get it to grow as much as possible, and it's all thanks to you, and it's thriving, and I just want to make this season bigger and better than ever. This is training camp number two for us at Locked On Bengals. This is year season number three that we're going into with this podcast. We've had podcast on podcast on podcast. I've done this is episode number 399. So the 400th podcast coming tomorrow on a Friday. How about that? Dang, it would have been better timed if I could do episode 400 on the 4th of July. Hopefully you had a great 4th of July, by the way. Today felt like a second Monday. It did, because I have family in town, and yesterday is like a big, big day in the Rapine household. Like, we get together, it's this huge celebration, there's fireworks. I have a few adult beverages, or more than a few. And on a Wednesday, dude, I woke up today like, what the heck? It was like the worst Monday ever. I had to wake up and, you know, you go through your routine. I didn't nearly get home in time enough to gym in the morning like I do. And it was just, I felt behind all day. So the whole 4th of July on Wednesday thing, I'll pass. Can we have a leap year the next time it's in the middle of the week? Like, that's rough. That's rough. I'd much rather have 4th of July on a Thursday, like it will be next year, Friday or Saturday. Like, those are perfect. Even Monday's okay, because you have Monday off. You can just take Tuesday off, and you have, like, that day to take a deep breath. But it was fun. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you had fun as well on the 4th of July. And I'm having a lot of fun just looking ahead to training camp, looking ahead, thinking about this team and what they could do. And last we talked, and you heard my conversation with Joe Goodberry, and I thought that was really good stuff from Joe. But the idea has been floated out there by The Ringer, is where it started, that Carlos Dunlap could be traded, that they may consider trading him, that's a guy that in the NFL circles certainly valued. If the Bengals aren't going to keep him, maybe they should consider trading him. And I get why they said that. And you've heard my thoughts on that, and this isn't that. Here's what I do think, though. I think the Bengals right now, and I'm not sure they do this, should seriously be looking right now to see who else is out there that they could bring in. And I don't mean necessarily free agent. Is there a player available via trade? Is there someone that they can go get with, I don't know, a draft pick? Maybe it is Dunlap and you do player for player. I don't know. Here's what I do know. This team has its weaknesses. I certainly see them. I think right now they could use another linebacker. I think they could use an established right tackle, which they don't have. Those are two areas instantly that I could see them trying to improve if there was someone available, right? If there was someone that they could go get. Wide receiver, I don't see it. I don't think there's a reason to look there in that situation. I don't want Dez Bryant near these Bengals. And I've gotten that question a couple times, and the closer you get to training camp, it'll be closer. And look, I get it. It's tempting, because the idea of a John Ross, being like almost the third guy instead of the number two guy, which as of now will be the number two guy. And Dez, we know he's still good in the red zone. Next to AJ Green, especially with Eifert in and out of the lineup, you know, basically struggling with to stay healthy, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And it would be if they were to bring in a guy like Dez. I don't see it happening, but I do wonder: is there a right tackle out there? Is there a? And I've talked about the backup quarterback position. I think that's certainly a weakness. Would they consider trading for a Teddy Bridgewater? That's the thing that kind of bothers me. Looking back, and Joe harped on this multiple times on this podcast, if you listen regularly, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. If you missed that conversation, by the way, really good stuff from Joe. You should go back and listen to it. That was on Tuesday's podcast. We were off yesterday because of the holiday. And, yeah, like, Teddy Bridgewater was a guy that's out there. Why didn't the Bengals go after him? It's not a money thing. They have some money available. They have cap space. That was one. And then looking back, I just wish they would have gotten some kind of right tackle. Cameron Fleming was the guy I wrote about at LockedOnBengals.com. I thought that was the guy that they could consider. Maybe they should have drafted one. I'm just concerned there. Now, with that being said, I'm also excited because I think this team with the new offense, with Joe Mixon and John Ross, obviously A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, like him, hate him, whatever you say, I think Andy Dalton's poised for a pretty decent season. I'm hoping they come up with a way to get him comfortable in the pocket again. He's been running for his life over the past 2 years, so much so that even now, like last year, there were times where the offensive line wasn't bad and they blocked and they did their job and Andy would still roll out. Andy would run and almost create pressure on his own by running away, running outside, rolling out, and then defenders would converge on him. So that, to me, is really interesting. And I have a player that I want to talk about today. And it's someone that could get paid this offseason, may get paid this offseason, I think should get paid this offseason. I also have another guy who's playing to get paid. And I want to discuss both next. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening today on the Locked On Bengals podcast. If I had one must-pay player, one guy that you have to extend, that if you're the Bengals, you have to keep around, it's Geno Atkins. Geno Atkins is a guy they have to keep. And I expect that to happen around training camp. So in the next 3 to 4 weeks, in the next month, let's say month. By the way, my birthday's in a month. Well, you guys can plan on getting me something good. In the next month, Geno Atkins, I expect him to have an extension. That's the guy you got to keep. Carlos Dunlap, fine. Geno Atkins is the guy you have to keep. Right? It's just, that's the bottom line. And I think they can do it. It will be interesting, though. It'll be interesting to see because Aaron Donald, and I keep making this reference when people ask me about Geno, Aaron Donald trying to get a new contract in Los Angeles. Geno Atkins certainly interested in a new contract here in Cincinnati. If Aaron Donald signs before Geno, that really screws the Bengals up money-wise because then Geno's going to be like, well, and it's not the case because I think Geno's great. He's not as great as Aaron Donald. But he'll say, well, I'm better than him. I want the same amount of money or I want X amount more because the market always resets itself, right, and always goes up usually because players always want more than the last guy, and that just goes on and on and on and on. So that could happen, and if I'm the Bengals, I want to get something done before Aaron Donald gets a deal done with the Rams. If he does, who knows? Maybe he won't, but if he does, and so that's a risk that I'm certainly not wanting to take. So Geno Atkins, I'd pay him. I think he gets done. I think that deal gets done in the next month. The other one that I think is really interesting, and the player that up until last year was injury riddled and we really didn't know what to expect from him, is Darquez Dennard. Darquez Dennard is now in his fifth year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. 2014, 2015, 2016, didn't get much from him. Last year, stayed healthy, showed he could play. This year, can he continue to do that? And then if that happens, And I'm serious about this. If that happens, you're probably keeping Darquez Denard. You're probably wanting to sign him long term. And that will be very interesting to me. Because naturally, William Jackson, and you have him under control. He's only played 2 years. You have him under team control once you pick up his fifth-year option for the next 3 seasons. But it'll be 2 seasons after 2018. And then what? So you have 2 seasons for William Jackson. You have Dre Kirkpatrick, who will still be under contract. He'll be entering, he's entering year two of a 5-year, $50-plus million deal. I see a pathway where Dre Kirkpatrick becomes the odd man out, where Dre Kirkpatrick gets traded, released, something. And I don't know if the Bengals would do that. Heck, it took them a long time to do that to Adam Jones, but that to me is interesting. But it all comes down to this. How does Darquez Denard play this year? Does he stay healthy? I hope he does. Because having a 1-2-3 of William Jackson, Darquez Denard, and Dre Kirkpatrick, say what you want about Dre. He competes his ass off. And as a third corner, I can deal with that. I can deal with him guarding Juju Smith-Schuster. I can deal with him guarding, insert Michael Crabtree. You know, he can guard Michael Crabtree of the Ravens. Meanwhile, William Jackson can take John Brown of the Ravens, who's speedier, who's got way more speed. And that's the difference to me. I think William Jackson III should shadow the team's best receiver. So like week one, T.Y. Hilton, that should be all. It should be William Jackson all day. I don't want Dre Kirkpatrick near him. But then do I trust Dre Kirkpatrick to guard the second guy, their second wide receiver? The answer is yes, I do. And so it'll be interesting to see how Darquez Denard fares, because if he stays healthy, and obviously it's health for all of them, but he's had plenty, his fair share of injuries. If he stays healthy, that cornerback room, I like it. Probably more so than I've liked it in quite some time. You got rid of Adam Jones. You're much younger now. You got young guys like Kavari Russell, who I enjoy talking with and I will certainly talk to at training camp. Darius Phillips, the rookie. You got guys like that around him. The kid from Illinois State, and I always forget his name. To me, and let's look up his name. Illinois State. Devontae Harris. I always forget it. That's Devontae Harris. But you got those guys. So the cornerback room is really interesting. And if you keep Darquez Denard around after this season, let's say he stays healthy, you have a cornerback room that for the next minimum of 3 years, if things go well, has Darquez Denard, William Jackson III, young promising players like Devontae Harris, young promising players like Darius Phillips. Does Dre, how does he fit in that mold? Is he a guy that you look to trade? Is he a guy that you stick with anyways because he's a leader in the locker room, and he is. I just think it's all very interesting. We'll see how it plays out. But Darquez Denard, this is a big year for him. We talk about the offense a ton. It's a contract year for Darquez, and he's dealt with his fair share of injuries. He needs to stay healthy this season. He needs to do his thing this year, and if he does, well, then he's going to be reaping the rewards with a big contract, either here in Cincinnati or elsewhere. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I really do think that they should consider looking at trades, some things that they could do. And they, of course, they'll say, we are always looking. You know, every team does. But I don't know. They have some weaknesses. They do. I would add a quarterback. I'll tell you right now, I would add a quarterback. I know Joel wasn't a fan of it the other day, really. He said, what's the difference between Matt Moore and Matt Barkley? I need someone with more experience. I'm James Erpine. Have a great night. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Be back at it tomorrow when training camp will be less than 3 weeks away. Thank you so much for listening on Twitter at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.